like to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. Genesis, chapter 4. We'll read the first 16 verses. And Adam knew his wife, or and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it's an undetermined amount of time there, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive, a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. And from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Adam and Eve were created by God directly. Notice Genesis 1, verse 27. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. We know that Adam was formed from the dust of the ground. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Eve, of course, was created by God taking one of the ribs of Adam. Genesis 2, verse 21 and 22, And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. So both Adam and Eve were created directly by God. Cain is the first person born into the world. We see that in Genesis 4 in verse 1. We know in Genesis chapter 1 that God established the method of propagation. Like produces like. We see that in Genesis 1, verse 11. See it again in verse 12, verse 21, verse 24, and verse 25. After Adam and Eve fell into sin, Cain was conceived. We see here in chapter 4. And verse 1. He was conceived and he was born. And he was conceived and he was born after their kind. That is, he received the nature of Adam and Eve. So Cain is the first person born into the world. The first sibling follows after, there in Genesis 4 and verse 2. Many think that Abel and Cain were twins. That's quite an assumption, but whatever. But there's your first sibling born into the world, Abel. Now, of these verses that we just read, Cain is the main subject. He's the main subject of these verses. His name occurs 13 times in these 16 verses that we just read. And God communicates to us through Cain. The history of Cain, which we have right here, defines both the character of Cain, his conduct. It defines the character and conduct of the unsaved individual. In Cain, we have a prototype of the unsaved individual. He is prototypical of the unbeliever. And through him, we learn much about the unsaved individual. We learn what we can expect from the unsaved individual. So I want to speak this evening on Cain, a portrait of the unsaved sinner. And again, looking at Cain, we see what we can expect from an individual unless God intervenes in saving their soul. We should not be surprised at the behavior of the unsaved. Cain, again, provides us with a very good picture. But in this message, we want to notice some things about Cain. But before we look at those characteristics of Cain, consider his birth. We read of it there in verse 1. We see that Eve conceived and bare a son. There was conception, there was birth, and Eve knew that both the conception and the birth was a miracle of the Lord. It is the Lord that allows us the privilege, that gives us the blessing of having life, both in conception and birth, come into our families. How do we know that Eve knew that this conception and birth was a gift from God? We know it from what she named her son, Cain. Adam and Eve knew that this was a miracle. The name Cain means a formed or made thing. A formed or made thing. So no doubt when Cain was born, just as there is today, for the most part, there was rejoicing in this birth. And just like it is today, the story begins with a very hopeful beginning. There's something about a birth that provides hope. There's hope. In verse 2, we read of the birth of Abel. And then we are told something about Cain, and we are told something about Abel. We read that Abel was a keeper of sheep. This, of course, they've grown now. They've become adults. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Some have tried to somehow classify these two professions as one being good and one being evil. But that's not the case at all. They are both noble professions. Taking care of flocks was a noble thing to do. taking care of the ground, taking care of crops. Certainly nothing wrong with that. Their professions is not the issue here. Adam and Eve had two boys. And just like it is today, in most cases, one went into one area of responsibility and the other went into another area of responsibility. Just as simple as that. In verse 3, we read, "And in the process of time." Again, it doesn't tell us how much time, so it doesn't matter. "In the process of time, it came to pass." And then what we read in verse, it is obvious from what we read in verse 4 that God had, during that process of time, had intervened in the life of Abel. Cain and Abel, again, they were both born in the same condition. But sometime before you get to verse 4, God had worked a miracle of saving grace in the heart, in the life of Abel. He did not with Cain. Beginning with verse 4, we want to take note of some of the characteristics of Cain. Again, he's a prototype of the unsaved. In Jude verse 11, we read of the way of Cain. The way of Cain. A way speaks of a method. It speaks of a style. It speaks of a manner of doing something. The way of Cain. And again, the way of Cain is a type of the unsaved. Consider first of all we have here a picture of false religion and false worship. Notice in verses 3 through 5 again, "In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect." So we see Cain and Abel here in a place of worship. They're in a place of worship. Not talking about a building. They were in a place that obviously had been designated by God. God had instructed Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve instructed their sons. And there was a place where they would go and they would worship the Lord. In Cain, we see both false religion and false worship. And they are both based upon self-righteousness. Abel's worship was acceptable to God. Cain's worship was not. Cain's worship was seriously flawed. This is a characteristic of every unsaved sinner. The worship of every unsaved sinner is unacceptable. And it is very seriously flawed. It is not that the unsaved are necessarily irreligious, but the issue is they offer unacceptable worship. In fact, the human race is really incurably religious. You can go to the darkest corners of the world and you will find people worshiping something. Cain was religious. Cain is a worshiper. And everybody is a worshiper. Everybody worships something. You either worship the true God in the way that God has prescribed, or you worship false gods. False gods, of course, are of great variety. Everybody worships at some shrine. Everybody has some God. Back in Genesis 3, verse 21, following Adam and Eve's sin, we know that God killed an innocent animal and covered Adam and Eve with the skin of that animal. In doing so, He provided a picture of the substitutionary death of an innocent victim to provide the covering for guilty and vile sinners. And instituting this principle, God communicated to Adam and Eve the kind of sacrifice that He wanted brought to Him. And no doubt Adam and Eve taught their sons this God principle. And no doubt there was a place of worship. We read here in our text that Abel brought such an offering. He brought a blood sacrifice. But Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. The act of Cain was an act of disobedience. It was an act of self-righteousness, which again is characteristic of the unsaved individual. Cain, in bringing what he produced out of the ground, was unacceptable. There are only two ways of approaching God. You approach God offering what you have achieved, or you approach God realizing that you yourself deserve death and are in need of a substitute. Those are the only two ways that a sinner approaches the Lord. Cain, in presenting the fruit of the ground, had no recognition of sin. None whatsoever. He did not see the need of a substitutionary death on his behalf. He felt no need to depict the reality that he was a sinner, worthy of death, who needed a God-ordained substitute in his place. His religion was a religion of self. His religion was a religion of human achievement. And that is true with every unsaved sinner. It is a religion of self. Whatever that religion is, whatever it is they worship. Cain, in presenting the fruit of the ground, was an act of self-righteousness. He comes to God in an attitude of self-righteousness based upon what the ground had produced, based upon a feeling of human achievement. What he offers God is hypocritical. So it is with the unsaved sinner. We see Cain presenting the fruit of the ground. It does not tell us anything about the quality of what he brought. But I would imagine that Cain brought the best that he could bring. We don't know what he brought. Maybe he brought lettuce. We have no idea. But I believe what Cain brought was very impressive. But none of that really matters. It's not about the quality of what he brought. Because what he brought was of him. It was of him. And therefore it was unacceptable to God. It does not matter how beautiful, how impressive the worship of man might be. What matters is acceptability before God. Nothing else matters. Will God accept this worship?
And may I say, God, man does not determine what is acceptable. God has already determined what is acceptable in His sight. So, you have this individual. They do something. They offer that to God. And they think, I have done this, and I am offering this to God, therefore God must accept it. That is the religion of the world. That is a false religion. That is false worship. And it is a characteristic mark, and it is a characteristic behavior of the unsaved sinner. So we expect the unsaved to be disobedient in their worship. We expect that. We should not be surprised. We expect them to worship on the grounds of self, on the grounds of self-achievement, on the grounds of self-righteousness. And when they do that, it should not surprise us. That's who they are. That's what they are by nature. It's what they understand. Unless God intervenes, this is what they will do. Secondly, we see that there was resentment of true worship and true worshipers, and in reality, resentment of God. Upon the fact that the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Notice verse 5. Cain was wroth. Cain became angry, and his countenance fell. Cain's worship was unacceptable to God. Cain was self-righteous, and he was stubbornly self-righteous. That also is a characteristic of the unsaved. Though his manner of worship was in disobedience, and though it was unacceptable to God, he shows no contrition. He shows no remorse over that fact. But what happens? He's angry. He's angry. And his face is slumped in despair and in fury. He's angry with Abel, and he is ultimately angry with God. Why is he angry? Because Cain has brought something that took human effort. And it's unacceptable. He resents the fact that there is only one way to worship God. Sinners are greatly offended by John 14:6. I am the way. It offends them. They resent that. You tell them Jesus Christ is the one and only door to God, the one and only way to God, the truth. They resent that. And we expect them to. It shouldn't surprise us, because that's who they are. That's who they are. They're going to resent true worshipers, true worship, and God. He resents and finds intolerable that God's way is so narrow. That's still true today. The sinner resents that. The sinner finds it intolerable in their mind that there is only one way, that there is only one acceptable way to God. They resent it. Hatred and anger and resentment are marked characteristics of the unsaved. I fully expect. It does not surprise me when the unsaved hate the Word of God. When they're angry about the Word of God, when they resent it, that doesn't surprise me. I expect it. That's who they are. Unless God intervenes, that's who they will remain. This is why it's this resentment. You know, people, God's people will even make the statement, well, I understand, they disagree with us, why can't they just go their way, we'll go our way? Oh, you don't understand the nature of the sinner. You don't understand the depth of that resentment, and that's why they want to keep God's people out of the discourse. That's why they want to keep the Bible out of schools and out of politics and out of social life and out of culture and out of everything. Because they resent it. They hate it. It offends them. Why? Because it's who they are. It's who we were also. They resent anyone telling them what is truth and what is right. And especially if you make it narrow, if you stay within the confines of Scripture, there's going to be resentment. And it should not surprise us when the unsaved become angry, when they become hateful toward the saved. Read John 15, verses 18 through 20. Jesus told the apostles, they hate me, they'll hate you. He says, don't be surprised when it happens. There's an example there in Luke 6, verse 11, and they were filled with madness and communed one another with one another what they might do to Jesus. Notice over in 1 John chapter 3, we read of Cain. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. It says, do not be surprised if Cain acts like Cain. Don't be surprised about that. And it should not surprise us when Cain acts like Cain. Resentment of true worship and worshipers is a characteristic mark and behavior of the unsaved. Expect that the unsaved are going to resent and be angry when it comes to worship. Pray and pray and pray that God would intervene in their life and save their soul. But don't be surprised when your family, your siblings, maybe your parents, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, don't be surprised if they become angry with you and resent you. They're Cain. And they're going to do what Cain does. The mistake that God's people make is they think, well, we'll just change our ways. They're going to remain the same. That you're changing your ways is not going to change them. They're Cain. Thirdly, there was a rejection of the Word of God. In verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? Now once again, God doesn't ask questions for information's sake. But God initiates a conversation with Cain. And he is causing Cain to search. What is it, Cain, that motivates your anger? Why are you angry, Cain? And that's a good question to ask the unsaved sinner that becomes angry at the worshiper, becomes angry at the preached word. What are you angry about? Tell me, what is it that you are angry about? Most of the time, they don't even know. What is it that motivates you, Cain, to be angry? What has stirred up this anger? He is saying, Cain, I want you to take a good look at your heart. In verse 7, basically what he says there in verse 7 is, Cain, it doesn't have to be this way. This doesn't have to be the end of the story. It just doesn't have to be this way, Cain. He's calling on Cain in verse 7 to repent. He is saying, Cain, you need to just do what's right. I've told you how to worship me, and you need to do it my way. He's calling upon him to repent. And what did Cain do? He does what Cain's do. He rejected God's word. He rejected God's word when he went to that place of worship. He rejected God's word when he approached God. And when God approached him, he continued to reject the word of God. Cain refused to listen to God. Don't be surprised when your loved ones don't want to hear what you have to say. They're Cain. That's what Cain does. He refuses to listen to God. In fact, after God told him to repent, Cain's anger and rage only increased. So God meets with Cain. God speaks with Cain. And I believe that happens to Cains today. They can sit in a worship service and God whisper something in their ear. It's going to do one of two things. It's either going to bring them under conviction or they're going to get angry. And we see that Cain's anger and rage increased. Notice verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. The anger is just building all this time. We don't know how much time passed between verse 7 and verse 8. But I believe it's safe to assume that the anger in Cain, the rage in Cain, the resentment in Cain was only building. And there's Cain talking with his brother. We don't know what they were talking about. But they were talking in the field and Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. God's people sometimes think, well, I don't understand why my lost sister or my lost brother or whatever doesn't like me. Because they're Cain. Because they're of the kingdom of darkness and you're the kingdom of light. You belong to two separate kingdoms. Two kingdoms that are at war with one another. So Cain rejected the word of God. He rejected the word of God when he approached God. He rejected the word of God when God approached him. He continued to do so. His anger just built and built and built. And this is a marked characteristic and a marked behavior of the unsaved. So do not be surprised when the unsaved continually and hatefully reject God's way. That's what they do, unless God intervenes. Fourthly, there was a refusal to acknowledge and accept personal responsibility for sin. In verse 9, God again initiates a dialogue with Cain. He says, He asks a question. Where is Abel, thy brother? Where is Abel, thy brother? Cain is set in his sin. Notice that Cain did not answer. He's over there, just where I left him after I killed him. That wasn't the answer of Cain. That would have been an admission of a crime. That would have been an admission of guilt. Cain doesn't do that. Cain simply says, I know not. In other words, I don't know. I don't know where he is. An absolute refusal to acknowledge sin. That is characteristic of unsaved sinners today. We also, he goes on to say, am I my brother's keeper? Basically what he's saying is, I'm not responsible for Abel. I'm not responsible for him. He's not my responsibility. This is refusal to take responsibility. This is what Cain does. A refusal to acknowledge and accept responsibility for sin. People aren't going to be happy when they hear that they're sinners. People don't like to hear that. They resent that. They come up with all kinds of foolishness. Well, he thinks he's better than me. That's not it at all. But it's just, you have to realize that that's what Cain is going to do. Because that's who they are. Fifthly, there is a defiant settling outside of the presence of God. This is perhaps the saddest of all. Verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod in the east of Eden. Cain killed his brother. Cain has offered unacceptable sacrifice. He's disobedient to God. God comes to Cain. And God was good to Cain. He really was. And there's a general grace. God is gracious to all. Not in a saving way. And God is merciful to all. Not in a saving way. But we see God provided Cain with protection. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken unto him sevenfold. The Lord didn't have to do that. That's not what Cain deserved. Cain deserved to be killed. But God was gracious to him. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. So God's been good to Cain. And God's been good to every unsafe sinner. He's been good to them. Providing them air to breathe, sustenance for their life, God's been good to them. God has been good to them in the fact that He has not struck them dead. But we read here, in spite of this goodness, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt. That is, he settled in the land of Nod. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He's had a conversation with God. He walked away from God. And in doing so, Cain was saying, I don't want God. I don't need God. I want to live my life the way I want to live. He is saying, I don't want God, I want sin. By his action, verse 16, Cain is saying, I will find my greatest fulfillment away from God. He's still angry with the Lord. He is expressing, I love darkness rather than light. And now there is a defiant settling. He is going to live the rest of his life away from the presence of God. How many times the sinner comes in those doors, he, she gets angry at the way worship is conducted. They get angry at what is preached. That should not surprise us. But the sad thing is, how many have gone from those doors in a rage, and then they go and do what? They settle in their land, away from the presence of God. That should not surprise us. We ought to pray that God would intervene, that God would bring them back, but it shouldn't surprise us. That's what they do. People can say, well, so-and-so was raised in the church. They know the truth. No, they don't. Not necessarily. They may have heard the truth, but let me tell you, there's a big difference between hearing it and knowing it. Big difference. They know the truth. They've been exposed to it all their life. I just don't understand why they don't want anything to do with us. It shouldn't be hard to understand. They're Cain. They're Cain. That's the way the unsafe sinner is going to... That's what they're going to do. We need to understand these characteristics of the unsaved and not be surprised at their behavior. Just as we saw this morning, as you look at the world, none of this should surprise us. Do we like it? No. But it shouldn't surprise us. Because sinners are going to sin. And sin is going to bring destruction and ruin. So what's going on in the world today should not be of surprise to us. And when Cain acts like Cain, that should not surprise you. What do you expect them to act like? They can't act like Abel. They're not Abel. A failure to understand these basic truths, to understand these basic traits of an unsaved sinner, has led to many a false doctrine. Well, we just need to adapt our doctrine to fit their needs. Their need is Jesus Christ. And you do not adapt that doctrine. You just keep preaching Jesus. Well, they just get madder and madder. So be it. You just keep praying that God would intervene. But you do not alter your doctrine. You do not alter your practice. Well, we'll make the worship services where Cain likes our worship. Well, when you do that, you cease to worship. And guess what? Cain hasn't changed one bit. Cain's still Cain. So just as in Genesis 4, it all ends being indicted by God. Just as Cain ended up before God, so it is with every unsaved sinner. They're going to end up before God. They can get angry. They can be filled with resentment. But unsaved sinner, there's coming a day when you will be indicted by God, when you will appear before God. Genesis 4 and verse 10. And he said, "What hast thou done?" This is God speaking to Cain. "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." The blood of Abel cries unto me from the ground. Every sin committed, rises to God. Every one of them. That's what he's saying right here. He is saying, Cain, your sin, your action has risen to me. I know all about it. The divine sentence comes in verse 11. And now, thou art cursed from the earth. Oh, how we ought to pray that God would intervene. You and I should not get angry. We should not be filled with resentment. When the unsaved sinner spits in our face, when the unsaved sinner gets angry at the message of God, that shouldn't make us angry. That ought to sadden our hearts and ought to cause us to pray, oh God, be merciful to them as you were to me. Because that was me. That was me. So, if the fact that they get angry with us makes us angry, then we're not right. It ought to burden us to keep telling them. It ought to burden us to keep praying for us, for them. Again, in closing, in Jude verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. You see how it ends? Woe unto them. For they have gone the way of Cain. Now, Jude is talking about false teachers. But that is true from birth. The sinner begins to go the way of Cain. You may control them as a child. One day they become adult and they go to that place of worship and they decide, I'm throwing everything that I've been taught out and I'm going to worship God my way. That's what Cain does. Now, I'm not saying everyone that does that is lost. That's not what I'm saying. But that is what Cain does. Even the saved can do that because we all still have some Cain in us. Still there. So God help us. Abel, God was gracious to Abel, and that's another message. You and I were Cain. God was good to us. God intervened, saved our souls. That is something we are never, ever going to get over. Never. And when I see that sinner get angry, I believe I can honestly say that I have not gotten angry with a lost sinner in their attitude toward the message of God. Because that was me. That was me. I was angry as could be every time someone opened this book. I could not stand it. And praise God, someone just kept preaching it anyway. There was always someone just kept on, and angrier and angrier and angrier I got. But God can work miracles. He still does. And we ought to pray. And just keep telling them, keep telling them, keep telling them. You need Christ. Those lost relatives, keep telling them. Well, they're going to get mad. There's no sense in it. Keep telling them. Keep telling them. You don't do it to get them mad. You do it because that's what they need to hear. That's what they need to hear. And you can try and rearrange the message all you want to try to not get them angry. They're still, it comes down to their sin. Guess what? They're going to get angry. They're going to get angry. So we see a picture. The unsaved sinner. My point is tonight, we should not be surprised when the unsaved act like unsaved people. Just like we shouldn't be surprised when God's people act like sheep. Because that's what they are. Well, I've told that person 1,000 times. They know better, and they just do it again and again. Why do they do that? Because they're sheep. That's what sheep do. That's what they do. I'm constantly telling pastors, remember, they are sheep. Don't forget it. They are sheep. They are going to act like sheep. We act like sheep. Cain acts like Cain. Sheep acts like sheep. Sheep are very self-destructive creatures. Very foolish creatures. It should not surprise us when people act like what they are. It should not be a surprise at all. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us in verse 7. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.